from the Word of God. I hope it'll be a challenge to you. If you want to begin with, you can turn your Bibles to Matthew 16. I heard somebody recently say that they were tired of hearing missions messages on Matthew 28. And I thought, well, I'm not sure how you get tired of that, but I guess you can hear all there is to hear. But we'll probably touch on that either way. But as Pastor said, I've been in Illinois now for almost 23 years. The Lord has blessed us. We were my wife is from Pecatonica, so that's how we got back there. We were on, I'm from the East Coast, from Eastern Pennsylvania, just north of Philadelphia, and I grew up there, and only child there. My parents helped start an independent Baptist church when I was a year old, and they came out of the Mennonite denomination, and my pastor did as well, and he came to the conviction of baptism by immersion after salvation, began to preach that. It wasn't very long before they showed up in his office and basically asked him to leave very nicely, probably not very nicely. But it's always been amazing to me how the Mennonites have gone to sprinkling when Simon Menno was an Anabaptist. So the local church has been a big part of my life, even before I knew it. And my parents were, when my pastor left the church there and started Faith Baptist Church in Sellersville, Pennsylvania, Dr. David Auckland, and when he started that church, my parents were 30 of the adults that he took with him that followed him. And as I said, I was a year old. That church, over the years, grew to over 1,000 people. God blessed it in tremendous ways, and he's with the Lord now, of course. But God has been very good. And so went out to Maranatha. I graduated from Maranatha, met my wife there, and we went out to the East Coast. I was an assistant pastor for 7 years. And then God had called us to start a church in Long Island, New York. And we were out on Long Island, about 70 miles out from Kennedy Airport, in Mastic Beach, and Shirley were three little towns that all were together. I say little towns, 50,000 people in a very small area. But we started a church out there. God bless. We were there for 11 years. Saw people saved. Saw some men called to ministry, some different things that God did. And then he took us back to Pecatonica. And when I went to Pecatonica, I knew about the association, AIBCI, a little bit, but really didn't see out east. There was no need. There wasn't anything like that. It just didn't have, it was very a very local church, taught, independent Baptists, amen, independent, and taught that at Maranatha and lived that and understood that and see that as scriptural. And so the idea of an association wasn't really something that I really cared about, saw any need for. We started our association with the association by supporting Brother Ken Foster when he started up in Antioch, Illinois. And so we supported him because I went to school with Ken, knew Ken a little bit. And so we began to get involved. I was asked to be on the board. I was on the board for several years. I was treasurer for many years. And we just saw, begin to continue to see a need for that, not just to be independent, but sometimes we get so independent we become isolated. And to be able to help one another, to be able to work together to reach our state for the gospel and with the gospel and to start churches. And God has called us, if you will, God has called each church, each place to be church planters and to use what God has given us, whether it be here in our local Jerusalem, or as Acts 1:8 says, in our Judea and our Samaria and the uttermost. We are responsible. And of course, the Lord has allowed us to be involved in different things with starting a church here in the country, in America, and God was good to us in helping us get support and different things. But that experience, understanding what it takes to start a church, I tell people all the time, I'm going to be 65 this year. I thank the Lord I had an opportunity to start a church. Please, Lord, don't ever call me to do it again. I'm a little beyond the age, I think, of that. But I want to be able to be used and be a blessing in that now as the Lord would lead us. And so as we think about the presentation tonight, as we think about what the Word of God says, you'll notice that the title is Churches Helping Churches. And we do that, don't we? We do that for foreign missions all the time, right? I mean, your church might, but our church, I don't know many churches that support any foreign missionary completely, 100%. That just doesn't happen. The average missionary goes to the foreign field, has 60 to 80 churches and individuals and people that support them. And that's not a bad thing. It'd be nice if it was a little less. It'd be nice if we could cut down some of that. But the prayer support, the support that comes to them, I'm always amazed. I didn't have the opportunity to really look at your mission board back there very closely, but I'm amazed when I get into churches how many missionaries they have that we don't support, that our church doesn't know anything about. And we have about 42 or 43 different missionary families and entities that we support in our little Baptist church. And God has blessed us that way, but we don't support any of them completely. And we help one another to do that. We do it through different mission boards. We do it through independent missionaries, whatever it might be. God has allowed us to do that, and I believe that we can do that here in our state as well, and I think we need to. I noticed your map out there, Pastor. It's amazing, 70,000 people. What was the diameter, 10 miles? In that range, that there's 700,000 people in your mission field, if you will, you're in Jerusalem. That's amazing. It's amazing when you think about that. And, we're in Pecatonica, a town of 2,000. We live outside of Rockford, which is about 150,000, and with the different surrounding suburbs, it's maybe 250. And the Lord has allowed us to reach into some of these places, but He's allowed us to do it through supporting missionaries. And I think that's an important part for what God has called us to do. And so as we think about, let's see if I have to, where do I have to point this? Nope. Let's see. Nope. Oh, there? All right, there we go. Matthew 16:18. And this is a familiar verse, I'm sure, to you, but Jesus is asking Peter, who do men say that I am? And he's about to give Peter and the disciples a future look, if you will, at what exactly he is building and what he wants them to continue as he goes back to heaven. And he says in verse 18, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And of course, we understand that the rock is Jesus Christ. Peter was the little stone. He was not the first pope. He was not the one that everybody, would look to. But Peter was going to be the one that God was going to use. We see it on the day of Pentecost. As God empowers the church on the day of Pentecost, and Peter's the one who's preaching. They're reaching out. Thousands, as we know, get saved. But Jesus said, I will build my church. That local church, that ecclesia, that assembly of people is what Jesus was and is working in and through then and today. All through history, that church has sometimes been underground, sometimes it's been often been persecuted, often been chased out of its places, and different things that happen, and we have that even in the early church. But Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that until he comes again, until he comes back, this is the ministry that God has given us. To build the churches that we have, to build this church, but also to reach out beyond us to build other churches. God wants us to build the churches that God has given us. Push the wrong button. There we go. And certainly as he gave that early church the Great Commission, he told them to do this very work that he had given to them. In each of the Gospels, God gives us the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, he says that we're to teach all nations, we're to see them saved, we're to see them baptized and organized into local churches and taught all things, discipleship. That's the job of the church. In Mark, he says we're to go to every creature. And then there's not just one type of people, not just one group of people, but all creatures, all nations, all over the world. In Luke, he tells us that it is imperative that the gospel and the repentance and faith be preached everywhere we go. And he says to them, whereof ye are witnesses. In other words, if you're saved here tonight, God has made you a witness. Now, whether you use that witness, whether you tell other people what Christ has done for you or not, that's between you and the Lord. But you are to be a witness. I think one of the greatest tools God has given us as Christians is our own testimony. The opportunity to tell somebody how you got saved. Listen, I got saved as 5 years old. I got saved as a child, but I had to trust Christ as my Savior. I had to come to a place where I accepted Christ, and I was a sinner, and that he had died for my sin, and that he would save me if I asked him to. I was 5 years old. My mom worked, and my dad, of course, both worked, and I was at my babysitter's, who was a Sunday school teacher in our church. And she sat myself and her daughter down, and she gave us the gospel. And I had heard it before, but she gave the gospel. And then she had us bow our heads, and she gave an invitation. Now, if you want to be saved, raise your hand. I raised my hand. I could take you to the place. I could take you to the half. It's still standing. I don't know if it's still standing, but I could take you to the place in Percocet, Pennsylvania, where they lived. Mrs. Phillips, she just passed away not too long ago. And I wanted to be saved. She led me into prayer. She helped me to pray. I prayed and asked Christ to save me. Her daughter was sitting next to me. Now, she was only four. And she didn't raise her hand. And when we got done, I preached my first message. I said, I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. But I remember that like it was yesterday. Listen, you don't have to know the date. I understand that. We're not going to all that. But the truth is you have a testimony. And your testimony is of a work that Christ did in you. Whether he kept you from horrible sin, whether he brought you out of horrible sin, God, you have a testimony. And our greatest opportunity is to witness. And Luke tells us that. He says, you are witnesses of these things. In John 20, 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So he passed on the opportunity again to go and be missionaries, to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. And then in Acts 1:8, after, you know, if you take Luke 24 and you take Acts 1:8 and you put them side by side, those last verses and the first verses of Acts, of course we know Luke wrote both, if you take those two things and you put them together, you're going to notice a very similar situation. And in Acts 1:8, the Bible says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. God wants us to witness for him. We know it's interesting, after he says that, what happens? The Bible says that Jesus goes back to heaven. He ascends. The disciples stood there with their mouths gaping. And the angel said unto them, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come again in like manners you've seen him go. You see, the disciples, they wanted to know, Lord, when are you building your kingdom? Lord, when are you going to be king and destroy the Romans and get us victory here? When are you going to do that? And he says, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. Not for you to know. But now the angel says, until the Lord comes back, here's the work that I want you to do. Here's the job that I want to give you. Here's the job that I want you to do. I want you to plant churches. I want you to see people saved. I want you to see them organized. I want you to see them discipled. I want you to see them taught. That's what the local church is all about. And God's given us that responsibility and that opportunity to do that. So We find here in this passage of Scripture, again, the idea of church planting. Now, AIBCI, Association of Independent Baptist Churches of Illinois, is in the job, is in the responsibility of taking churches like yourself and my church and all our churches. We have about 60 churches that are involved, that have been involved in membership, and about 35 of them support the association on a regular basis, a monthly basis. And in that, our responsibility, we've started, over the years, they've started about 36 churches. About 26 of those churches are still in existence. And the last one, of course, you probably know the Barbers. Nathan and Dana Barber have planted Shorewood Baptist Church. I was with them last October for their 10th anniversary. At the end of last year, at the end of 2023, they told everybody, we are self-supporting. And some churches have continued to help them with their building fund and so forth. But for the most part, he said, listen, God has blessed us. We can support ourselves by the tithes and offerings of God's people. And God has put them in that place. Now, they were in that place a couple different times, and things, this or that happened, and they weren't able to do it. But God has blessed them. Nathan is one of the hardest working men I've ever met. He's faithful. He loves the Lord. And his family does. And just been a great, it was a great opportunity to be there with them. And I've seen it from his letters and things, they've grown. They've seen some other things happen even since then. And God continues to bless them. So our responsibility is churches. The next opportunity we have is we're looking at helping a young couple to start a church here in the Chicago suburbs up towards Wrigleyville, up in the northern area. The Taylor and Lindsay Cranfield, they just had their little girls in that picture, but they just had, a week ago, a little boy. And so they were going to try to move to Chicago this summer. But because of the birth of the child here in May, they're going to give a couple of months for Lindsay to get recuperated before you have to move and do all that. But probably this fall, they'll be moving to the Chicago area. The association has not started supporting them. We've talked about it quite a bit. We've helped them. They've been in some of our churches. We're going to encourage them to get in more of our churches. They're going to join a church in the area, near the area where they want to start. Just to get acclimated and get things going. I think sometimes we treat home missionaries and home church planters differently than we do foreign missions. When a missionary goes to the foreign field, we give them at least a term to learn the language, learn the culture, get used to what's going on, and figure out where they want to start a church. Nobody has a problem with that. But when a local church, when a church planter here in the States goes, you say, wow, they should know the culture. They're from North Carolina. Need I say more? They're going to have to learn the culture. He knows that. They're going to have to learn the area. They're going to have to learn the culture. Maybe even, in some ways, the language. It's different. God has burdened them. I honestly tried to talk them out of it. I said, you're picking one of the most difficult areas. You don't know the culture. You're young. You're coming from the South. I mean, this is, and he's convinced this is what God has for them, and I'm convinced God's going to use them. They're about 53%. They've been traveling around raising support. They're at about 53% of that. They've begun to raise funds to move. And so we're hoping that we can begin to support them through the association come January of 25. After they're here, and we're looking at, we have some money set aside this year to help them move, and other churches are doing that as well. So God wants us to be planting churches. God wants us to carry out the Great Commission. And that's what happened, if you will, in the early days in the book of Acts. When you go to Acts chapter 1, again, the Bible says that they were to reach Jerusalem, Judea. Now, we know on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 people were saved. And then later on there was 4, and there was 3, and different people got saved. And some believe that in that early church, there was as many as 25,000 people. Now, they didn't build a big mega church building. They didn't build a huge auditorium. What'd they do? Well, they housed churches, small churches, throughout the Judean area, throughout the countryside. People went back to their homes. They had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. They went back to their homes. But this church was working with all these different peoples, and God was blessing them in a tremendous way. We come to Acts chapter 8, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 that Samaria is going to be reached. Philip is going to go to Samaria. And Samaritans are going to receive the Holy Spirit, and God is going to show that they're the same as the Jews. They're the same people, and God's going to reach them. Some believe in our day and age that Samaritans are cross-cultural people. Now, we don't have a great cross-cultural group in Pecatonica. We don't. You probably do here. I pastored on Long Island. We had people from all walks of life, all nationalities, all races. We had people all over. I have fellowship with many churches in New York City. It was the same thing. We had the same thing in Chicago. You have that type of thing. You only have to go out of your way to find people from different cultures. But we're going to reach people from different cultures. And the Bible says then that Philip reached the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch went back to his home. And God began to reach different races and different peoples. But then we come to Acts 11, 12, and you find that Antioch becomes the place that God begins to reach the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, he reaches Cornelius. Acts chapter 11, Antioch begins to grow. God sends Paul and Barnabas to it to help it in Acts 12. We find that Antioch becomes the center of God's work. And it switches from Jerusalem to Antioch, and from the Jews to the Gentiles. And praise God, you and I are here this morning, this afternoon, because of that switch. God used Paul then, and Barnabas, and others, as they began in Acts 13, to take his missionary journeys. The Apostle Paul, was used of God to go through, to start churches, to build churches, to establish churches. Now, I put this picture in here, and I have not talked to them in the last few weeks or so, but Faith Baptist Church in Champaign is one of the few churches in our association that's looking for a pastor. Praise the Lord, we had, in the beginning of 23, we had 6 churches looking for pastors. And I'll show you those here in a minute. But Bob Hassel, some of you may know him. Bob and Lynn were in Champaign for 35 years as an assistant and then as a pastor. He's now in the counseling ministry. His health is not good. He has some degenerative nerve damage and different things in his legs, and he's not able to get in the pulpit anymore. And so God's given them a different ministry. But they're looking for a church. But of the churches that we found, pastors, I think you know one of these pretty well. My wife said, it's pretty good up there. Well, the one church we were at, the thing was back, you could barely see the pictures, but we have the Herberts here, Faith Baptist Church in Pekin, and then Josh and Valerie Bechet in Woodridge, and then we have the Potters, of course, in Heritage in Roscoe, and we've had a great time with Brother Potter. He's been a blessing. Of course, we're about a half hour from him, and we have a lot of fellowship up there, and he's been a real blessing to that. I think you probably know this, but he really likes baseball. Every time I talk to him, he talked the Yankees. I don't understand. You guys did not convert him to Cubs or White Sox, and I'm a Phillies fan, so you're not converting me either. But we know Brother Potter, and then we have the Claxton. This one's easy to remember. The Claxton's in Paxton. I think that's why the Lord put him there. That's the only place that we're praying for them today. We've been praying specifically for them today. Tonight they were having a service in a local park. Expected a good number of lost people, and we're trying to reach into their community. And so we're praying for the Claxtons there at Grace Baptist Church in Paxton, and then Richard and Colleen Woodruff at First Baptist Church in Rochelle. All 5 of these churches Lord has given them pastors, like I said, in 2023. None of them have been there very long. It's still in the honeymoon stage, I guess. But God is blessing them. And that's part of our responsibility, part of the job we want to do. I don't know. Again, when I came to Illinois, I didn't know much about the association, didn't care about the association. And God has allowed us to be able to be of help to these churches and to encourage them to continue to be a part. All these churches have been a vital part. And one of the blessings that God has given us in our state has been longevity. We've seen pastors in our churches stay for a long time. And so some of these were pastors that have been there a long time. And God has moved them on. But God has allowed us to continue in the work. And in Acts 13, the Apostle Paul takes his missionary journeys. And he gathers churches and he helps them. Go to Philippians chapter 1 with me if you would. And I don't have time to bring all this out to you, but I want you to see that the churches that were mission churches, the churches that were started by Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Luke and Timothy and Titus and the different ones that God had used, these churches did not just say, okay, thank you for starting us. Boy, this is great, wonderful, wonderful for starting us. They continued to do the same thing. Philippians 1, verse 4, it says, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The word fellowship there is the word participation. He said, I want to thank you for participating in the gospel. I want to thank you for getting involved in seeing people saved. Again, a witness. I want to thank you for growing in Christ and the church growing and people maturing in the Lord and then God using you to do more for Christ. Go to Philippians 4. Again, we're going to jump to the end of this, but Paul says in verse 13, of course, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. So what is he saying? He said, listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love what Paul is doing here. He says, listen, I don't need your support. I don't need you. I can do all things through Christ. The verses previous to that, what does he say? I have learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. I've learned to be full. I've learned to be hungry. He said, I'm content. God takes care of me. I don't need you. But God wants to use you. I don't need you, but God wants to use your church to meet the need of the missionary. God could have chosen a different way. God could have done it some other way. But God chose to use the local church to participate, to fellowship with the missionary, and to see them, the work of God, go forward in different places. We can reach our Jerusalem. We can reach our Judea. We can reach Samaria. We can reach the outermost part of the world by supporting missions. I love the next verses. Verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, I don't need, again, I don't need, I don't want you to give to me. I don't desire you to give me a gift. But I want you to understand that when you do give, it's fruit to your account. You want to be credited, if you will. You want to see fruit in Africa. You want to see fruit in the Philippines. You want to see fruit in London. You want to see fruit in different places. Participate in the gospel. Participate with the churches. Participate with the missionaries. Give to your missions program. Be part of your missions program. Love the missionary. He goes on and talks about Epaphroditus. Talks about how Epaphroditus, in verse 18, he says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, and the odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said Epaphroditus came, and earlier in Philippians, he says Epaphroditus almost died. He had given so much to the work, he'd come and he'd done so much, he almost died. He said, I appreciate what he did. He gave himself. And he came from this church, from Philippi. But then verse 19, this is a verse we often quote. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can I say this? If you don't participate in missions, you can't claim that verse. You can't claim that verse. In the context of that verse, he's talking about fruit that abounds to your account. He's talking about how that they gave to him, how they met his need. It was an odor of sweet smell. It was wonderful. In the nostrils of God, it was something that God had blessed them with. And their participation and their blessing was fruit to their account. And they could say, God, you're going to supply our need because we've done what you told us to do. And that's the promise. God wants us to be involved in missions, whether it's here in our state, whether it's around the world, wherever it might be, in all those places. God wants us to be involved in missions. That's what Paul did. But there's another principle that I want you to see in Scripture. I began to think about this a little bit as the Lord had laid on my heart this message, this principle of churches helping churches. Do you know that in our state, we have churches that are small. We have churches that are struggling. We have churches that are strong and going forward and God is blessing. We have churches that are in between. We all different. People often ask me, well, as I'm traveling, how are the churches doing? Well, which one do you want to talk about? I mean, we've had some churches close. Obviously, churches started. Churches struggling. God has allowed us as an association, and I appreciate the board's interest in this, to set aside some monies that God has given us to help existing churches. You say, well, Pastor Myers, we're independent. We're independent. And I get that. I don't know if there's anybody more independent than I am. I am very independent, local church. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose. But I began to look at Scripture. As Baptists, what's our first rule of faith and practice? The Bible. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. So let's just, real quickly, in 5 minutes, I'm going to show you what God's doing in the New Testament church and through the New Testament church in these early stages. Take your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians 1. You're going to have to, if I do it in 5 minutes, you're going to have to really move quickly. I used to love my pastor. He used to say, I love the rustling of the pages. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. It says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction, with joy in the Holy Ghost, for ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God would have spread abroad, so that you need not to speak anything. Paul said, the churches of Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonica has been a testimony, an example, a testimony to those other churches and to people everywhere he went. Okay? He used them as an example. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. It says, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. What did Paul say? What's Paul saying? He said, listen, he said, the churches in Judea have faced tremendous persecution. That's Acts 8. That's why they went to Samaria. That's why they scattered. Paul says they went everywhere preaching the gospel as they were scattered abroad. So they face that persecution. They knew what it was to go through that. So now when Thessalonica is facing tremendous persecution, Paul is able to say, listen, these churches made it. These churches got through it. These churches have been a blessing, and they were a blessing to the church at Thessalonica. And we know Thessalonica was facing such tremendous persecution that they had come to a place where they thought that maybe they had missed the rapture. we have to be living in tribulation. Has to be. But it wasn't the case. Paul tells them in 1 Thessalonians 4. So, Thessalonica. So, Thessalonica was a testimony to the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. Judea was a testimony to the churches in Thessalonica. Okay? So now we have Jerusalem, Judea, Thessalonica, Berea, other churches in that same area, Macedonia and Achaia. Okay? Now, it doesn't stop there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I think you know that the New Testament is not given to us necessarily in chronological order. But here in 1 Corinthians, we find, in verse 15, it says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The first fruits of Achaia. Who was the testimony of the church in Achaia? Thessalonica. Thessalonica was. And so it goes on, verse 19. He said, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So here you have the church in Aquila and Priscilla's house, you have the church in Asia. Many believe that Asia was basically Achaia, pretty much the same area. So we have Thessalonica received from Judea and was a blessing. Judea is a blessing to them. They were a blessing to Macedonia and Achaia, and Achaia was a blessing to Corinth. Okay? So you see the progression? I mean, these churches didn't say, hey, and they didn't even have internet. They didn't have the modern things that we have. But they had missionaries, they had people that were helping them and teaching them and using these churches to help one another. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, we do you to win the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Macedonia. So there's another one. Again, Judea, Jerusalem, Thessalonica, Macedonia, Achaia, Corinth. God is reaching these different churches through other churches. He's helping. They're being a help and a blessing. He goes on in 2 Corinthians. He talks about how they gave their own selves. They gave out of their poverty. They gave when they didn't have anything to give. They gave. They were involved in missions. God wanted to use them. But this is what I want you to see then here. Go back to 1 Corinthians 16. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians 16, and verse 1, he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Jerusalem? Jerusalem is 25,000 people. Why do they need money from other churches? Really? Why do they need this money? Remember we said persecution. The church had gone, I'm sure, from 25,000 to just about every family was affected because they stood for the gospel and God allowed them to witness and go forward, but it was hurting. This church was hurting. This church needed financial help. Who is helping them? Church of Corinth. Who taught the Church of Corinth? Macedonia, Achaia, Thessalonica, Judea, Jerusalem. Do you see how very simply the church has come full circle? We have an opportunity. Right now, the last couple years, we've been supporting First Baptist Church in Oregon, Illinois. The church at one time, when I came to this area, was 140 people. Through different situations, different pastors, different problems, they're down to about 15. We've been treating the Snows, who's the pastor there. He's faithful. He's stayed there. This is his third year there. You know, a fourth year, I guess. He came during a perfect storm. You remember COVID? He came to the church 2 months before COVID hit. Can you imagine? Trying to pastor a new church, trying to reach people during COVID, first time. So it's been hard. He is working faithfully. He's working hard. This year is the third year that we're supporting them, and we're supporting them like a church planter. We give a church planter $2,000 a month for a period of years. For him, it's been year to year. We've just kind of decided we're going to evaluate it every year. This will probably be the last year of doing that. But I praise God that we've been able to do that. God is beginning to open some doors in Oregon. God is beginning to use him in some different ways. It takes time. But God has allowed us as churches to help another church. There's been times we've helped churches finish a roof project. We've helped churches, a church that was hit by a lightning, and they lost all their computers and all their different things, and we were able to help them. It was a small church, a struggling church. And God has allowed us to, through the association, not always plant churches. That's still the goal. That's still the number one thing. We want to see people say, we'll see churches started. But, you know, you can't push that. You need three things to start a church. You need people, which there's no shortage of. You need money, which God has blessed us. We have churches that will support it and so forth. But you need a man. You need somebody like the Cranfields. You need somebody who says, I'll start a church. Again, not an easy process, not an easy thing. But God has given us the opportunity to reach people for Christ through the association in places that you aren't able to go to. Now, we're blessed, and I hope that our churches, and they have with Shorewood, I hope our churches, when the Cranfields start, when they figure out exactly where and what, we'll begin to help them with knocking on doors, we'll help them with literature, we'll help them doing things with BBSs and different things, and we've done some of that in Oregon. Church where Brother Potter is, they have sent, for the 3 years we've supported them, there's four families that once a month have gone down to Oregon to help that church out of their church. For some, it's an hour drive. Others, a half hour, you know, in between. But they've done that. They gave themselves to be a help, to be a blessing. We want to do what we can to make churches successful. We'll do it. I mean, again, it has to be the Lord. It has to be God working. But folks, God wants us to participate, to fellowship in the gospel. That involves you witnessing, yes. It involves you telling your neighbors, involves you writing to the church, involves activities, involves being involved. But it goes beyond that. Our giving involves the missions. Whether it be foreign, whether it be local, whether it be here, God wants us involved. He wants fruit that abounds to your account. And you can claim that verse. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I'm involved in the work that God's involved with. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we give you glory and praise for all that you've done and all that you do in our midst. We're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to reach people for Christ. Lord, use this church. Continue to use this church to reach souls. Lord, help us to be faithful. Thank you for the fruit. Thank you for the faithful missionaries and church planters around the world. So thankful how you've called them and placed them and put them in places. Lord, help us to be those that lift up their arms, to be a support, to be a help to them. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.